So let's put aside China for the time being. What other countries, cities are your favorite places? If someone asked you, like, what are your top three or five places in the world that you think I should absolutely visit, what would you
absolutely
say?
Absolutely.
What do you like about them?
All right, so let's go to our top three, because I think we've both been to a fair number of countries now. So our top three, all right. So favorite place that I've been just for an overall good time, good vibe city, a lot of fun, a lot of stuff going on in the streets. Great walking city, Amsterdam.
I know where that's going, yeah.
Amsterdam is amazing because it's like, basically, you get there and if you can stay in the central part of Amsterdam, there's all these canals going down like every other street. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And you basically, they have a huge bike culture. So it's very flat and there's bikes everywhere, like old school, like one-speed bikes. And you can rent bikes anywhere for next to nothing. It's so much fun. The bar scene is awesome. The cafes are awesome. Like, it's just a good time. You go there and you have some good food. And you kind of like walk down a bunch of little streets. They've got all kinds of different shops and stuff. I don't know. I just think that's kind of my vibe, my kind of city to hang out at.
Okay, so we can go back.
Okay, that's number one for me.
Yeah. So I agree, but I'll offer some other places. Amsterdam's a blast. All the streets do this too. It's not a grid, so you will get lost. Enjoy being lost. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, it's part of the fun. Definitely get a bike though. So I would say one of my absolute favorites is Tokyo. No big surprise there. Fantastic public transportation. So people are so polite. It's a culture of etiquette, and the idea that you can't ever read the Japanese, that they're xenophobic, and that they present something else, and you can never get to the truth, is complete and utter bullshit. You need to learn Japanese. All right. The idea that you're going to expect other people to communicate their inner feelings in English is just pompous. So. If you actually learn a little bit of Japanese, they'll open right up to you. And that's especially true of the younger generations. Just love Japan. It's clean, it's safe, can be a little bit expensive. It doesn't have to be. It's a wonderful city.
I'll second that. Tokyo's amazing. So number two for me, this is not really, this is something that's really easy to go to, actually. And it's weird, I kind of find it weird to give a commercial plug for something, but I went to this place with a old girlfriend, with Sarah Lane, actually about three or four years ago. It was a place called Verona.
Okay.
And it's right off of, it's in Baja, Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And it's a resort.
Verana. How do you spell that?
Verana, I believe. Okay. Or Verina, something like that. You can type into Google, in Verana, Mexico. And basically what it is you go there, you fly into Baja, you take a taxi down to the waterfront, and then a little tiny boat picks you up, like a little, like, just gas-powered boat.
Yeah.
And then you take a boat for about 45 minutes along the coast out to this little kind of island area, and they have all of these open-air huts that are like
different... Like Bali.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's all... The donkey actually takes you up to the top of this mountain. And then it's all these little huts at different levels. So they're open air, so you can like stand out there naked in the morning and like stretch and shit. And nobody's gonna see you because they're different.
My favorite as well.
It is your
favorite. Dude, I'm not lying.
Yeah. I've been a roommate of this guy.
Oh, here we go again.
I'm just saying, they're little tidy whities, and it's all fucking.
Dude, I don't have. They're tidy blackies, but that's
tidy
fine.
Tidy blackies. That's right. All right. So anyway, Verona. The thing is so cool about it is that. You pay like a couple grand. It's like $2,000, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. You get this hut. They cook you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have a phenomenal chef. And I'm not just saying that. Like, they bring someone in, this awesome chef that they've that lives
there. What was the tour
there.
Company that you used? I mean, who did
it's
you arrange
it It's not a tour company. You just go to their website, and you set it up. I'd gone to their website, and I was like, I was trying to find a place to stay in, like, in Mexico, a fun resort. And then I looked at all the reviews online, and they were all really positive from all these different companies.
Yeah.
And basically, like, they went out and caught salmon one day, and like brought tuna
okay.
one day, and they brought back a huge ass tuna, cut it up that night. We had fresh sashimi right there.
Oh, nice,
dude!
Nice.
And these tables overlook the most beautiful. I have some
ceviche.
Screenshots. I have screenshots I'll send Glenn so we can splice them into this. It really was phenomenal. Like, as a fun place for a couple G's to not get screwed.
Verona.
And they have massage therapists on there, so you can go and get, like, coffee grind massage. And, like, you can go down to the beachfront, and they have, like, down on the beach, they have these guys that come up and, like, you know, sell you all kinds of stuff. And it's just fun.
That's cool. That's a new one for me. So, also, Mexico can be really hit or miss. But even if you travel 15, 20 miles from a tourist resort, you can find some really, really cool towns. So, for example, Ixtapa, which is a tourist resort, mostly fat Americans, not terribly interesting. But if you go to Zihuatanejo, which is, or Troncones, which is right up the coast, awesome little fishing villages, and you can just have a blast. Pays to have a little bit of Spanish, but from California at least, or Arizona, for example, you can go to Puerto Vallarta, which is, I was expecting it to be like Cancun or something. It's so much fun and beautiful beaches. If you're willing to just go a half a mile outside of the city, most people stay right in front of the hotel, just walk for 20 minutes and you can find beautiful places. And it's a 2-hour flight from San Francisco. I couldn't believe it. It was cheaper to get a round trip from Idaho to Puerto Vallarta to San Francisco than it was to do a round trip from San Francisco to Idaho to San Francisco. Hmm. Awesome place. You can just hit it for a weekend. So, all right, the next one that I'll share is, you know what? I'm going to have to go Thailand as a country. Thailand, I spent time in Bangkok. I went to the Fairtex Muay Thai gym in Bang Pli, which is right outside of Bangkok, and then also went to Pattaya, which is a bit dirty, but fun all the same. Thai people in general are quite uninhibited. And then from Pattaya, I also went to Sitfolak Muay Thai gym there, and then took a boat to Koh Samui, which is a small island, and that was just unbelievable. Thai people, honestly, around the world, all countries included, the friendliest race slash country I've ever visited. All smiles, the food is awesome. Now granted, Thai food, it's like, it's never gonna be life-changing and it's never gonna be terrible. It's always like, yeah, it was pretty good. But you can always get good Thai food. So I would say Thailand also very well worth it. And I don't speak any Thai.
I'm not sure about my number three.
That's a tough choice. I'm tied.
I don't know. Gosh, I'm trying to think.
Let's do this. If you had to pick a place to live for 6 months to a year, the places that we've considered.
All right, you do your number three. I'm gonna look at my passport. I can't remember all the places, stamps I got.
All right, so my number three, a lot of people will expect, I would say it's almost tied between Berlin and Buenos Aires, but I would have to give it to Buenos Aires. I just think that Argentina is the New Zealand of South America, meaning that you can get penguins and glaciers and killer whales, or certainly the closest city to Antarctica, or you can go all the way up to tropical rainforests around Iguazu in Brazil and everything in between. It really has every possible climate and geographical feature. But Buenos Aires itself is a mixture of Spanish, Italian, and German culture primarily, so you have absolutely beautiful people, the most gorgeous women you've just about ever seen in your life. Buenos Aires. You have the best beef you'll ever eat in your life.
That's not true.
Japan,
dude.
Let's see, the difference is, all right,
Kobe beef is amazing.
Okay, Kobe beef, if you want to pay $200 for your beef, that's fine. But if you want to have the standard of grass-fed beef where you can get a $2 grass-fed vacío, like diaphragm, I know it sounds bad, sandwich for $2, and it's like, it's just unbelievably jaw-droppingly good, then Buenos Aires is your spot. Then you have dance, you have the tango, you have you can go to dozens of different dance halls, and it's a very European-looking city. It can be dangerous if you're a target, i.e. if you're known as a business person there. I've never had anything close to resembling a threat in Argentina, whereas its neighbor, Brazil, is a different story. I mean, I had 3 or 4 near-death experiences in Rio de Janeiro, and that's being fairly street smart. I mean, guns, knives, you name it. So you have to have your wits about you more so in Brazil than in Argentina. But it's increasingly expensive because it's become popular, but it's still very, very cheap.
So, I'd have to say that I really enjoy my time in Ireland.
Where in Ireland?
Went to Dublin, started there, did the Guinness factory tour.
Yeah.
And then you end up at the end of the tour and you get to try the Guinness right there. Oh, and it was like chocolate milk. It was phenomenal. And then I took I took a car from there, rented a car.
That's good timing.
And not right after the bar. I got fucked up and took a car. No, I basically we left there and we took we drove for a week and just did a big loop.
Oh, that's awesome.
And did, you know, kissed the Blarney Stone and went along the coast, the kind of east coast of Ireland, and just, I mean, you start going through the rolling hills there, yeah, and like you're stopping because there's sheep in the middle of the road. Yeah. And then you pull off at a little town and they're like, "Would you like some lamb stew?" And you have like this amazing lamb stew. I'll send you pictures. I mean, phenomenal.
So I was making faces during his Guinness description because I was in Dublin and I too tried to go to the Guinness factory, even though I don't drink beer because I have this weird reaction where I fall over like a 10-year-old schoolgirl if I have one or two beers.
Fall over in what way?
I just look like I'm completely off my ass drunk if I have one or two beers.
You get hammered. You told me it was like an allergic reaction.
No, exactly. It's a strange reaction to malt or hops or something like
that. And you get super drunk.
But if I was in Munich and I had, the only time I've done this, since the bottled water was like $5 to $8 a bottle, and the beer like this was $1 or $2, I tried one and it was Augustiner and St. Paulina.
St. Pauli girl.
No, Paulina.
Pollander.
Close, yeah.
Pollander.
Beer, and I didn't have any bad response to it. But I digress. So in Ireland, the Guinness tour was packed. There was a huge line.
The store?
The tour.
Tour, yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'll just keep on going. So the next stop was the Jameson Whiskey tour. And I was like, oh, sure, I'll check it out. This is like 10 in the morning. I haven't had any breakfast. So I go to the tour, and they're like, oh, we're going to show you a video on the Jameson Whiskey. Oh, fantastic. We need some volunteers. So, of course, being the eager beaver that I am, I'm like, oh yeah, me. They're like, okay, cool, we'll come back to you guys at the end of the tour. So the end of the tour, like, all right, we're gonna taste some whiskey. And they bring out this big block of wood with about 12 different glasses of whiskey. And there were 4 or 5 of us there, and I don't think any of us had any breakfast. And as soon as we get it, all of these non-Irish are just looking back and forth with a, are you fucking kidding me face. And then we proceed to have, we had 12 shots of whiskey on empty stomachs. And so I wandered out into the daylight at like 11 o'clock, completely drunk off my ass. And that was pretty much my day. I couldn't do much after that. But when I was in Dublin, first of all, just because Ireland is a fun spot for, depending on the season, Irish bar music is the greatest. So there are two instruments that I've ever stuck with for any period of time. Drums, and then it's an inconvenient instrument for apartments and whatnot, and then Irish flute. But look, you get a violin player and an Irish flute player, I'm not good. But I used to be okay. I could play like Amazing Grace and a couple other things.
Do you have a video we could splice in of you playing the Irish
flute? I wish I did, but I don't. But people in Dublin said, why the hell are you in Dublin? You need to go to Galway. So I went to Galway, which is on the west coast, and they have this amazing art festival. And in that area, in Connemara, they actually have Irish-speaking towns, so people who speak Gaelic Irish, which I would say is easily one of the top three hardest languages I've ever tried to learn, because the way they write it down is so impossibly unphonetic. It's near impossible to self-study Gaelic, and you don't have many options to practice either. So I guess those are our are our top three. What are the consolation prize spots? We can just other favorites.
One, Germany for Oktoberfest, one of the best times of my life.
So yeah, Berlin, Munich's awesome too.
Munich, that's where
Munich's awesome. It's a little pricey, but
it depends on. It's not that pricey.
Well, it's more expensive than Berlin.
I didn't like it really,
dude. I love Berlin. All right, so this might be a difference. See, Munich is really clean. It's small. It's manageable. It's very tourist friendly. Berlin is like Blade Runner.
Yeah, you speak German, so that's like, it's no issue for you.
Less of an issue.
It's hard in Germany.
True. Munich people are better educated as a whole because it's more expensive. But Berlin is like a smaller, safer New York City, I would say. Lots of graffiti. Munich, you're not going to see graffiti. I just think Berlin is the bomb, especially if you like electronic music. It's really, really cool. Mm. Any other spots, real quick? What other
Glenn,
spots?
How about you?
Yeah, Glenn, what about you, man? Spots.
I really enjoyed Peru.
That's right, yeah.
I'd get off of the main track for Peru.
Peru?
Yeah, because if you do the touristy stuff, you get hammered with, you get off a bus and people
just want to sell you stuff.
So you have to find a shaman for ayahuasca, is what you're saying.
Well, but yeah, Amsterdam, London, I really like.
London's always a good time.
Yeah. London's fun, but you can't find a sandwich for less than $20.
I didn't even mention London because it seems to me, due to the conferences and stuff that we go to, I'm like there all the time.
So London is by far the most expensive city I've ever been to. London is more expensive than Tokyo.
Tokyo's pretty damn expensive.
Dude, here's the thing. All right, I'll give you guys a tip.
The exchange has gotten a little bit better,
If you go to Tokyo, here's what you do. You don't eat on the first floor. If you just remember that, you can have awesome food for next to nothing. So if you go to, let's say, Shinjuku or Shibuya in Tokyo, don't go to the first floor. Go to... All right, so I'm getting two more. This will get increasingly interesting.
Did you put older alcohol in those?
Dude, those are... Yeah.
You didn't say non-alcoholic.
No, those are alcoholic.
Oh, interesting.
So,
well, you've had your injury with your arms. So you've been on antibiotics.
So yeah, I'm on.
Been drinking a lot.
I haven't been drinking too much. Although I've been drinking that, just god awful, fucking miserable formaldehyde.
What's it called? Glenn brought back a bottle of
fortified.
We had to pour it out.
Horse piss alcohol. It's just terrible.
What's it called?
Baijiu.
Baijiu. Yeah.
White alcohol. Oh. So here's the thing. If you
That's
go to
another thing we got called White Devils while we were out here.
That was Alan, though. Our translator called us White Devils, but he's
pretty funny.
He's a good guy.
I actually like that. I want my name, my Chinese name, to somehow have White Devil.
You should just call yourself White Devil. People are like, "What's your name?" You'd be like, "Yang Guizi."
Is that it? Yang Guizi.
Yeah. That was good. That was good. No, that was better than your thank you.
I get a little drunk and all of a sudden I start talking Chinese.
So if you go to Shinjuku, Shibuya, it doesn't matter where. You'll generally see as you walk by different restaurants, they have next to the elevator different restaurants. Go to the third or fourth floor, you're going to get better food. It's going to cost probably equal to or less than food in, let's say, San Francisco, and it'll be quiet and you won't have to listen to all the foot traffic. This is especially true in Shinjuku. If you go next to Kinokuniya, which is the huge bookstore, about a block in either direction, you'll find incredible restaurants on the fourth floor. So.
I just say go to Akihabara. It's freaking awesome.
Computer Town?
Yeah, Computer Town.
We've got some good stuff.
All right, we
got
to wrap it up.
All right.
That's it for our trip to China.
That's it.
We'll see you soon.
Until next time.
Beards.
Don't shave your beard.
No.
On a trip.
Some people said that we don't want the Mao Cha. We want you get together, make a cake for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're always finished.
They just came out. I'm gonna eat the shit out of that little guy right there.
Are you getting moist?
Moist is what being alive is all about.
Hazard.
Indeed.